They got the authorized version of Holy Scriptures you'll find in front of you in the pew. And turn to Isaiah chapter 28. And we are reading from verse 9. The ninth verse of the 28th chapter of Isaiah. And we are reading on to verse 22. Verse 9 to verse 22. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is a rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is a refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule of this people, which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we will make a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the heels shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over by day and night. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter, but a man can stretch himself on it. And the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Amen. And God will stamp with his own divine approval this reading from his very own infallible book. On the parchment of the book of the decrees of God, there is written the words, "No lie is of the truth." 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. We live in a day of lying. We live in a day of cover-ups. We live in a day when man's lips move in the field continually of deception. Various refuges of lies are constructed in which men hide to cover over their sinning and their wickedness and their evil planning and their evil deeds. But God is the enemy of the lie. God says no lie is of the truth. And every refuge of lies will be torn apart, and everything it hides will be openly manifested and exposed. And in these past days, we have been hearing of the exposure of lying and deceit by our own government, by the southern government, and by those who have been carrying out this act of treachery to our province, this so-called peace agreement. But God is tearing aside the refuge of lies, and men will be exposed for what they are. There's a rumor in the press now that probably those who are studying these papers have found on one of them the fingerprint of Jerry Adams himself. Of course, that will be denied. And what is more, the British government, if they find it to be true, will want to conceal it from the people and cover it with more lies, because that's the place that we're in at the present time. But what is happening politically has always happened spiritually. Men have been cunningly constructing refuges of lies in which to hide their souls from the wrath of God. But in the 17th verse of Isaiah chapter 28, we read these words, "Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and the righteousness to the plummet, and the heel shall sweep away the refuge of lions, and the waters shall overflow the hiding." Everyone in this meeting has a spiritual hiding place. Thank God there are those who can look to Christ and say sincerely and rejoicingly, I'm hiding in thee. I'm hiding in thee, thou great rock of ages. I'm hiding in thee. But there are others who are not hiding in Christ, but they have a refuge. They have a hiding place, carefully constructed, in which they conceal themselves from the voice of their conscience and the voice of God in the sound of gospel truth and gospel grace. I would say to you, dear deceived soul, hiding in a refuge of lies, that the day is coming when the storm of God will test that refuge. The day is coming when the heel shall sweep away the refuge of life. And God's judgment waters shall overflow your hiding place. Then, what about the state of your soul? What about your eternity forever? You need to ask yourself, dear sinner friend, that question tonight. The refuge of lies is going to be pulled down. God's judgment day will destroy it, overthrow it, and it will perish forever. The waters of doom that drowned the old world that Noah grew up in will drown in judgment your refuge of lies. And what then will it be for you? You say to me, I am quite satisfied with my trust. You may be, but there are four tests which will soon reveal whether your refuge is a refuge of lies or whether it's a refuge of truth. Whether it is a refuge of deliverance or a refuge of doom. First of all, if I have a true refuge for my soul, if I have a safe hiding place for my immortal soul that'll never die, but live as long as God Almighty lives, the first thing is this: that refuge will satisfy the highest demands of my conscience. My conscience will not be disturbed in any way when I think of it being tested by my conscience at its highest possible level. If your conscience is not totally and absolutely at peace with the refuge of that you're hiding in, then it must surely be a refuge of lies. For remember, your conscience is also stained by sin. And while you have a conscience that probes your heart, your conscience has been damaged and injured because of your sin. And in many cases, it can't feel because it has been scourged as with a hot iron and has lost its feeling. So if you're here tonight, and when I talk to you of death and the time when the death too shall be upon your brow, and the death rattle be in your throat, and the great unending eternity's doors will open. You'll go down the passageway to your doom. If that thought brings unease to your conscience, if that thought disturbs you tonight, if that thought casts a darkness over light in your inmost soul, then you can rest assured that you have not got a safe refuge at all. It's a sham. It's a refuge of lies. And God Almighty will sweep it all away. And then what or where will your soul be? There's only one refuge that meets the highest demands of conscience, and that is the Rock of Ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. When I am disturbed in conscience, I don't present a refuge that I have built, a safety net that I have set up. I point conscience to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. To Jesus, the Savior of man. To the sure foundation, the precious cornerstone, which precedes this very text on which I'm preaching tonight. How happy is the soul? How happy is the man, the woman, the boy and girl who is hiding safely in the Rock of Ages? There is another test that we must apply, and that is if your refuge is sound, if your refuge is sure, if your refuge is one of safety, then it will have the effect of making you a better man and a better woman each day you live. It will draw you closer to the road of holiness. It will draw you closer to the path of sin rejection and rejection of the world and rejection of the flesh. And you will be every day giving divine strength to resist the temptations of evil and to get the victory over the devil and the world and the flesh. Tell me, is your refuge doing that for you? Can you say, I'm not the person I was this time last year? I have progressed along the pathway of eternal life. I have conquered sins that once dominated me and controlled me and whipped me. But God has given me the victory. And I can truly say, I'm closer to God tonight than I was 12 months ago. My heart is holy. The Lord has dealt with me. Many things that have sealed me, I've got the victory. And prayer is a delight. It's not a problem to me. I loathe the fact that time moves so quickly during the day that I cannot have more time to spend it in the immediate presence of my Lord and my God. Now you be honest about it tonight. A false profession of Jesus Christ is false, but it doesn't bring forth the fruits that knowing Christ brings forth in the lives of men. Jesus Christ said, by their fruits ye shall know them. What about the fruits in your life? Is there progress? Are you a better man, a better woman, a better boy, a better girl than you were this time 12 months ago? Have you made progress? Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ? Do you love your Bible more? Do you love the souls of men more? Do you love the place of prayer more? Do you love the throne of grace more? You test yourself. Maybe it's only an empty profession you have. And an empty profession is a refuge of lies. And God has said, judgment I will lay to the lie, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hills shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. There's another test that you must take to test that refuge in which you hide your soul and put your trust, and that is the test of death. Can you tonight, sitting in this house of God, in this meeting house, at this gospel service, survey the hour of death without disturbance? Survey the time of dying without darkness? Survey the time when you give up the ghost as a time when you step from darkness into light and step into heaven and heaven's home? Can you say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But does death bring bondage to your inmost soul tonight? Does the thought of the coffin and the clay and the grave and all that pertains to death and farewell and partings with the world, does that all frighten you? Listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has given to us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Is that what you have? Can you face death and say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk in death's dark field, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Is that your faith? Or have you a false refuge that the very thought of death shakes and brings a shaking of fear into the depths of your heart? If you fear the thought of death, what will happen when you come to die? It will be the last of fearing fear. It'll be the beginning of real fear, the fear of damnation forevermore. Oh, thank God, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And a man that's saved can look at death and say, thanks be unto God who giveth me the victory. No wonder old Balaam, rotten apostate that he was, had to admit, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like theirs. John Wesley said to his brother, he said, you know, R, people die well. God's people always die well. God takes the bitterness out of death, removes its sting. And as Rutherford said, what is death but the tiny little bog hole that separates the wilderness of time from the delectable city of God? And Christ will be there to carry me across the bog hole. So he will. That's faith, true faith, a refuge of safety and certainty. But there is one final test that you must apply, and that is the test of judgment. There's a great judgment day coming. John says, I saw a great white throne, and he that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of the books, the things that were written in the books. And whosoever's name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do those words terrify your heart? You don't want to read them. When you go to a funeral, you're glad to leave the cemetery. When you go to the house of death, you're glad to escape from it. Why? Because after death, there's judgment. If the fear of judgment disturbs you tonight, what will the reality of judgment be? Oh, I plead with you, dear sinner friend, be in time, while the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Judgment will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the heel shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. I am closing the book. One day God will close the book on you. Will he close you into heaven? Because you have a refuge that's sure and certain? Or will he close you into hell because you held on to a refuge of lies and in folly rejected God's rock of ages, where alone a sinner can find a safe hiding place? May God bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.